with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on this Tuesday, July the 14th, and you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Shirley Mansfield. Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Mr. Vanilla Webb. How are you today?
I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good
news is I managed to get here in one piece. No Operation Stack this week.
Yeah, we got a few news items about Operation Stack. I don't know if you've seen, there's a petition going around now to petition
story.
The Prime Minister, yeah, and the Federation of Small Business and a few other of the business support organisations are eventually going to kick someone's head in over this, which is about time, because it has been ignored for a long time.
A lot of very frustrated business people, I know.
Absolutely, yeah, and just local people in general around here, because you can't even get home. You know, you can't go anywhere. As soon as it cuts in, and they've really got to sort it out now. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we've got a few bits and pieces to discuss later in the show about that. But welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to spend Tuesday afternoon with you. And we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with me live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and we have had a few tweets already, and we will be reading those out as we progress through the show. We have a fantastic lineup of guests, both in the studio, pre-recorded, and on the phone, so we'll be introducing those folks as we go through the day. I'd like to say a massive thank you to today's show sponsors, who are We Do Social Media, and the lovely ladies Linda, Elle, and the team from We Do Social Media are a social media management company and consultancy company based in Maidstone, but handling things primarily across the UK, but with expansion plans to expand internationally eventually. So they help you plan, manage, and deliver your social media and marketing interactions. And I just want to say, I'm not going to go into any details about this. There's an awful lot of you out there that need help. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying
grenades
no more.
Grenades in early today, then.
Sorry?
The grenades have gone in early
today.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. There's people missing massive opportunities to promote themselves on social media. And I don't know why.
It's not scary.
It's not. It really isn't. No.
If you and I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
At our age.
Absolutely. Even though I'm a tad busy, I actually type by hand all my own tweets, and I do type an awful lot of them as well.
Well, I have to say, you've got pretty good, because there's not many spelling mistakes. I have lots of troubles with that U, I, and O across the top, so my butts become bits and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, We Do Social Media. They're the folks for you. You need to talk to them. Our headline sponsor, of course, as always, ongoing on the show, is the Federation of Small Businesses, and a big thank you to them. And we have a Federation of Small Businesses news roundup later in the show, which we'll be bringing to you with lots of useful information, feedback, advice from the Federation of Small Business. And if you're thinking of joining a business support organisation and you're a micro or small business, then we highly recommend that you do get involved. Great value for money and well worth becoming a member. I've had a tweet, and as always, every week on the show, the first tweet always is the same tweet from our friend Mr. Lee Willis. And Lee says, it's the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Tune in from 1 p.m. today. Lee is the chair of the Ancorians Football Club, who are a community football club over there in Medway in Gillingham. They run football teams for all kinds of abilities, boys and girls, men and women, youths, disabled teams, special needs teams, all kinds of community-based football activity, all fronted up by their massive, massive mascot. Mascot, yeah.
Big hairy one.
Well, no, theirs is Sammy the Starfish.
Oh, right. Okay.
Is their mascot, who I once hilariously likened to a blown-up marigold glove. But...
Well, yes, in imagination.
Yeah, that didn't go down well. But Sammy the Starfish is their mascot, and a massive thank you to all the folks who do such a fabulous job over there at the Ancorians Football Club in Gillingham.
Well done.
Yeah, fantastic. I tell you what, Shirley, could you read me an email, please?
I could read you an email. Let's go for one about crowdfunding, I think. A lovely little success story here about a guy called George Edwards, who's 19, and he's been given the opportunity of a lifetime to launch his startup company with lots and lots of guidance from Sir Richard Branson. So he entered into the crowdfunding for his business, which is called Gas Sense, and you can follow him on the Twitter at Gas, G-A-S, Sense, S-E-N-S-E.
Oh, I see, Gas Sense.
Gas Sense, yes. Yeah. And he's received £15,000 from crowdfunding and caught the eye of Virgin founder Sir Richard Branson and had a chance to travel off to Detroit. And he met Rob Love, who is the chairman of the website Crowdfunder, on the trip as well.
Wow.
So he's had some great help, but it would be fantastic to follow some of our young talent, business talent, and so pick him up on Twitter at GasSense.
Fantastic. And
excellent news.
Yeah, good news. Another young entrepreneur. We've got a lot of young entrepreneurs coming through at the moment, haven't we? You know, teenage entrepreneurs. Everyone from young Ben Towers, age 16
excellent.
Upwards.
Yes.
Lots of young, thrusting, dynamic entrepreneurs, which is lovely.
It's fantastic because actually they have no fear about business.
Mm.
And actually they love the hard work too.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And running a business, as you and I were talking about earlier, is hard work.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. And people never realise that. I tweeted out a little graphic the other day, which Shirley saw.
Yes.
Which basically it says most people's idea of starting a business, which just showed an upward trajectory arrow. And the second graphic just showed an arrow that then went into a ball of wool type thing and then petered out the other end. And we were discussing, as Shirley just said off air, one of the problems is the media portray business as had an idea, made £1 billion, didn't pay my tax, and that's the end of it, you know, and they miss out all the bit about hard work, failing, not getting anywhere, starting again, losing all your money, getting ripped off, da 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 da, before a small number of people eventually succeed.
I know, but it's like you were talking about with We Do Social.
Mm.
Lots of people start their business because they love doing what they do. And certainly our guest today in the studio, I'm sure, is going to tell us some of that.
Yeah.
But then you have to learn the business skills to go on top of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And that's where quite a lot of the hard work comes in. You have to suddenly learn about numbers. Now, I'm not saying you have to do your accounts, but you have to learn about numbers. You have to learn about the legal stuff, social media, and all those types of things.
P&Ls, balance sheets. Absolutely. And I say this quite a lot. Excuse me. And for me now, when I talk to businesses, I always go, show us your P&L, show us your balance sheet, and they go, oh, you're one of those, are they? And actually, no, I'm not. I hated that. I hated the numbers. It wasn't me. That wasn't why I was in business. But I learned a long time ago, if you don't look at the numbers, you've got no idea what you're doing.
It is.
You have to. You know, it's just one of those things. You're absolutely right. Most of us got into the business we got into based on a passion or, you know, some experience of doing the nuts and bolts of whatever we're in. But running a business is about HR, payroll, sales, marketing, and all the other things that most of us dislike doing.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, if you're not, you know, what happens generally is you end up stopping doing the stuff you love because you're now running a company.
Absolutely.
But that brings with it lots of fun too. It's not all bad.
Yeah, no. Although most of it's working for the government these days, filling out
sometimes.
Forms. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Shall I tell you about Kent Invictor's After Hours Club?
Yes, please do.
Okay, fine. Right. There is one tonight, which is at Hythe. Tomorrow night it's at the Royal Wales Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. Tuesday the 21st. Actually, it's a double header. They've got one going on at the Abbott Spartan in Canterbury and one at Sun Pier House in Chatham.
Wow.
Tuesday the 28th at the Mercure Great Danes in Maidstone. And finally for July, Wednesday the 29th at the Dover Marina Hotel.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Great networking. Free of charge, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do get along. They are good. They are good fun and they are good value. And I haven't been to one for a while, I must admit. But I used to go to them around different ones around the county on a fairly regular basis because they were always good fun and always good for a bit of free pizza.
Yeah. Don't even need to book. Just rock up.
Absolutely. No, well worth going. I thoroughly recommend. I've had a tweet from the Mango Girls.
Ooh.
And the Mango Girls happened to import mangoes, would you believe, and some other exotic fruits and turn them into, I'm sorry girls, they're going to kill me for this, they turn them into syrups that you can use to mix in various cooking and drinks and cocktails and all kinds of things. And very nice they are too.
Sounds lovely.
I've got some in my fridge because I blagged some free ones off them when
Did
I bumped
you?
Into them a couple of weeks ago at Squarey's food and drink show. And they gave me three bottles of it, which
lovely
was lovely.
You.
And I've been making really nice fruit cocktails with them. So big hello to the Mango Girls. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Daniel's Fitness, Vanilla Web. We're looking for massage therapists, I bet you are, to join us next Monday, the 20th of July, at a staff wellbeing day. Good rates of pay, and a travel experience too. So if you want to find out more about that, you can contact the lovely Anna at Daniel's Fitness, and you can find him on the Twitter at Daniel's_fitness. And I think if you just Google Daniel's Fitness, you will find Anna and her team. So if you're a massage therapist and you're not doing much next Monday, the 20th, and you'd like to join in on our staff wellbeing day, do contact Anna. I could do with a twinge on my back.
Oh, dear.
I told you what happened, didn't I?
It was the sock.
Sock-related injury. Old man injury. I pulled a muscle in my back putting my socks on. Would you believe? How sad is that?
I hasten to add too much information.
I know. Mm. Well, I did think of blagging it for a while, you know, and just kind of making it up and making up some kind of, you know, I was bench pressing 200 pounds and I slipped, or, you know, there was four of us in a trapeze and a trampoline and, you know, that kind of thing. But the funny thing was, at the weekend, I was clearing out my garage. I've just had a new kitchen, as everybody's really bored of hearing, and my old kitchen is piled up in bits of wood in the garage, blocking everything in. So I was picking up cabinets, and I think that's really what did it.
So it was a bit of man work.
Yeah, but it didn't go till the next morning when I just bent over to pick my socks up, and bang, it went. And it's been a bit painful ever since, so maybe I need to get Anna and Daniel's Fitness to have a go at it. But anyway, do contact Daniel's Fitness if you're interested in doing that. We've had tweets from Chris Pollard, who's listening in. Of course, Jules has been tweeted in like mad.
Well, she's in the Big Apple.
She is in the Big Apple, and she's just annoying the nonsense out of me all over the weekend. She's discovered world travel and Periscope all at the same time, and I get inundated with Periscope videos of every meal she's eaten. Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then I got a picture of her assaulting a street vendor that was flogging pretzels or whatever in Lower Manhattan, with her laying all over his cart trying to blag a free pretzel or something. A nuisance.
But she is over there with serious stuff, isn't she?
She is. She's over there with a book launch of Frontier Funds by Gavin Serkin, her husband. It's a fabulous book. Anybody interested in emerging markets and investments and how the world's going from an economic point of view is really worth a read, because Gavin spent a year going round to various places of the world looking at where growth is happening big time. And, of course, as you can probably imagine, it's in some of the strange corners of the world, not known for their business, because business growth is very moribund over here in Europe. Nothing much happening because we're all dinosaur-like out there in the rest of the world. Things are going great guns. So do have a read of Frontier Funds. They're over there for the book launch. But
it's launched here, though, already, hasn't it?
It's already available here, yeah, and they're doing a New York launch at the moment. But it's available here through Wiley Publishers, Frontier Funds.
It's then notably available on Amazon and all other good booklet outlets.
Exactly. Exactly. The interesting thing being Jules as well, who blagged the free trip to New York on the back of this. She then took over the whole event. And we have quite a few listeners in the United States, but all over the place in the United States. And she has gathered them all together in New York.
Good on her.
Yeah. And she was posting some pictures of her hotel room full of all of our listeners bouncing on the bed the other day. So big hello to Liz and Ken and Carol and all the folks out there in the US that regularly listen to the show. Thank you very much for supporting us. We really appreciate it. Do you know what I think we'll do now?
What's that?
I think we'll have a bit of tunage, and then when we come back, we'll probably talk to our first guest.
I think that's a good
reckon?
Plan.
Does that sound like a plan?
Good plan.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't want to see.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
She said,
that ain't no way to have fun, son.
Open up the window, let some air to this room. I think mama's choking from the smell of stale perfume. And the cigarette you're smoking about to scare me half to death.
Open up the window, let me catch my breath.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. She said that ain't no way to have fun, son. That ain't no way to have fun, son, son, son.
Radio was blasting, someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend, she just passed out on the floor. I've seen so many things I ain't never seen before. Don't know what it is, but I don't want to see no more.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
Mama told me
she said that ain't no way to have fun.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, July the 14th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Shirley Mansfield. That was Tom Jones and the Stereophonics with Mama Told Me Not to Come. That's my favourite version, actually. I think
it's a better one.
It is a slightly better version,
I am
going
to get hold of your playlist, though, next time I'm on, if I come on again.
Well, basically, what we've got is we've got a database of 95,000 songs on the computer. Mm-hmm. So, but it's funny how many people come in with things that we haven't got, even though we've got all those songs. Maybe that's just a reflection of us old kids on here or something. Anyway, hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our first guest of the day for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Hax to the show. And, of course, Hax, we've got to start off with that obvious question, why Hax?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me, Paul and Shirley. Hax is actually a nickname. An early assistant in my back in the day as a photographer, commercial studio photographer in London, he kept on saying, because my surname's Hacker, so yeah, he kept on saying, we can't keep on calling you Hacker. So he eventually started calling me Hax, and then it just stuck.
Right.
And then about 5 years ago, I was looking for a brand, and I thought, well, that's a nickname. A lot of people know me about it, so...
Yeah. It's interesting how these things arrive at, isn't it? Because also, you can have another story here, because a hack these days has a very special connotation, doesn't it? It's the kind of thing that geeks do to make things work and to get into things. So it's kind of nice how it evolved into that as well, because you can go either way with that, really, can't you?
Well, absolutely. I can remember as a kid, you can remember the Hacker Radio?
I do, actually, yeah.
Well, everybody used to say, oh, you know, are you in any relation to the Hacker Radio family or whatever, right. And of course I wasn't, but then obviously as computers came up and everything, yeah, Hacker became a term, it still is a term, but also you can't use a lot of social media platforms and whatever, they won't let you actually sign in on that name because it's too close to the term Hacker, so they don't really think that it's a genuine,
Right, okay.
But also... There are four Mike Hacker photographers in the world, and there's a motorcycle racing champion in the States called Mike Hacker. So
right.
I was kind of looking for a little bit of individuality.
Right.
So we just got behind the hacks.
We used to have a prime minister called Jim Hacker as well, didn't we? Oh, no, that was
MacLean,
wasn't it?
Prime minister.
No relative then.
No. No.
Cool. So tell us how you started out.
Well, originally, I was an editorial photographer in London, had a studio for about 25 years. Mm. Then about 15, 20 years ago, I went into filmmaking, primarily doing a little bit of commercial corporate work. Mm. And then I had a break to go into documentaries. Eventually migrated from being a cameraman to a director and then on to a producer.
Right.
What I did then was use my family connections in Kenya, because I was born in Kenya.
Ah, you're from East Africa then?
Yes.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. I've spent a little bit of time in East Africa. I've been to Zimbabwe and Zambia and Botswana.
Okay.
And I was fascinated by Botswana. What a lovely country that is. Those other places have a little bit of issues now and again, but yes. Botswana seemed a quite settled place to me.
Yeah, Botswana's a lovely place.
And you're from Kenya?
Yep.
The home of the human race, the Rift Valley?
Well, they reckon, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, without any shadow of a doubt, a fascinating place. Fascinating history from all kinds of points of view, even from a geological point of view. Obviously, you weren't born then, but... So you grew up in Kenya. How long did you spend there, Hacks, before you came back?
Well, I eventually started going to school here in this country at 11, but then I commuted back during holidays and whatever.
Okay.
But when I finished my education, I went off and opened a studio in London, and that was 1984.
Right, okay, cool. East Africa, big beasts and all that.
Well, I thought I'd come along and share something with you because it's got a bit of a story. Mm. Quite often in the early days, I was a cameraman and director for Animal Planet, or doing some stuff. Basically, documentary work. And we often, the phone used to go and say, would you like to spend 3 months in Kenya filming elephant or filming rhino or lion or whatever. So the beauty of it was that I would just go and spend time in the bush, really. And this one particular, it leads on to the power of storytelling. This one particular evening, we'd been told that we were actually filming elephant at the time, but we were told by our local guides and whatever, there was a contretemps going on between two big male lions,
right,
over basically a pride and whatever, and there was a show of strength going on and fighting and whatever. Anyway, this one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I could hear this lion roaring, and I was in the tent on my own, but I had all the camera gear with me and the sound equipment and whatever, and I could hear this guy roaring away, but established the fact that he was starting to walk down towards our camp. Mm. So I quickly got out of bed, rigged up the camera. It was too dark to film anything, but definitely we'd be able to record it with some, good mics that we had on board. And I recorded this guy walking right past my tent. He was no further than I am from you right now.
Wow.
when he walked past.
Wow.
Because the following morning we could see his marks in the grass.
Shall we hear what you had to say?
Yeah, go on then.
That sounded like Jules eating her dinner.
That was close, though, wasn't it?
He was very close. Yeah. And I tell you what, the hairs on the back of your, you know, your neck stand up. They really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen? I think I saw it last night, but it's probably been going around Facebook for a couple of weeks. There's a video of one of these like safari parks. It is I think it may be the Serengeti or somewhere. But there's loads of vehicles in the park, and there are two male lions that are walking in and out of the vehicles, and all of a sudden a kudu turns up, and the two lions just jump on this kudu right in front of the car and tear it to bits all over these cars. It was a really amazing piece of video footage. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have, yeah. It was in South Africa.
You're right, yeah. Absolutely amazing, and amazing animals, and to be that close to one is absolutely unbelievable. Well, slightly scary as well, I guess.
They're truly the king of beasts. Mm, they really are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Telling stories, as you were saying, is a fundamental part of humanness as well. There must be loads of tribal traditions where you grew up too.
Absolutely, and where you commented, that the Great Rift Valley is the seat of, you know, mankind and whatever. Stories have been passed down, particularly in the African, well, in cultures all over the world, including us, are passed down verbally, and they are usually the culture's own record of history. They've got nothing written down, so stories have been traditionally a very strong form of passing, you know, knowledge and information down.
Absolutely,
And it really is. It's so important. I believe that stories are the foundation of identity.
Because absolutely, they are.
Everyone has a story, whether you're a business, whether you're a tribal leader, whether you're a religious leader, or whatever. We all reflect back. Yeah. And there's something within our system that actually accepts a story, that we actually open ourselves to that story and listen to it, which becomes a great persuader.
Absolutely. I, as most people that know me, I'm a great one for stories as well. One of the things I totally and utterly agree with you 100%, and one of the things I love about old stories is if you listen to them from different perspectives, you can understand or start to get an understanding of people's cultures, how people thought and felt about things when they grew up. And a lot of the myths that we have today are very old stories, very old cultural stories that exist. You know, we have myths in this country about Robin Hood and things like that. You can find that myth in every cultural tradition. You know, the same types of stories, no matter where people are from, humanness has those same kinds of interests and things. But one of the other things that fascinates me is lots of things that arise out of stories and become almost myths and fantasies, but you can actually see the reality of where they were born from, in their original days. You know, you have lots of stories about mythical animals like unicorns. Mm-hmm. But, of course, unicorns do actually exist. They just don't look like unicorns. They look more like rhinos. But you can see how that gets, you know, twisted in the telling. So, I like you, I'm fascinated by that storytelling and how much it means to humans and how we relate to it.
And because basically we pick up the whole context of the story, and that's how you can educate people in morality, you can educate people in traditional and tribal processes and everything like that. It's come all the way through to us. I mean, we teach it in history in the English classroom. So it's not only just the tribal people, it's happening now. Religion is a great storyteller.
Absolutely.
In that respect.
Absolutely. In every culture, in every part of the world, always storytelling has formed a fundamental part of what people do. I'm a student of what used to be called the Dark Ages, and it's now called Early Medieval because we're all politically correct. But I prefer the old rape and pillage myself. You know, that's what it was all about. But Anglo-Saxon culture, which is something that I was very heavily into, has some wonderful stories. There are some wonderful archetypal stories about all kinds of things, about journey. I mean, the oldest written thing in the English language or in any language is Beowulf. Which is a story about a guy hunting a monster and stuff like that. So you're absolutely right. So in your opinion, Hax, what makes a good story?
Well, it's got to have a beginning, it's got to have a middle, and it's got to have an end. Mm-hmm. And the listener or the viewer, if you're talking about a film or documentary or whatever, it's got to be, they've got to have a journey. They've got to have that journey that they can accept, relate, and respond to. Mm. And that's very important.
It's funny you should say that. Many years ago, again, a lot of people know this, that I used to work as a motivational speaker on the international circuit. And at some point, people started saying, can you teach me to speak in public and stuff like that? I actually was a Dale Carnegie instructor, how to win friends and influence people. And Dale Carnegie has a very simple principle for speaking in public, which is that beginning, middle and end. They call it incident, action, benefit. And it is a really powerful way of putting together any kind of talk. It is funny, when you teach people how to do it, they have a tendency to revert back to their comfort zone and try not to do it. But it actually works. You know, all you need to make any story is the opening. Actually, the way we work it out is the opening and the closing, and then you fill in the middle bit in between.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we make documentaries, it's all about the hook.
Yeah.
What do you do in that program that convinces someone that they want to invest time to watch that program?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just like, a fable or anything like that, it's all about giving something away very quickly that makes someone want to sit and listen.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And of course, when you look back, we were talking, or you guys were talking earlier about social media. If you look at what gets trended, what gets socially shared and whatever, are all stuff that we can relate to and engage, either in a way that we know someone about it, or it has a reaction to us, and that's what makes it socially engageable.
Absolutely.
And that makes social media and video, the whole fact that video has become of age online now, it makes a really powerful business opportunity.
Absolutely.
Everybody loves a story.
Absolutely.
And actually, some of the best presentations that I've ever been to actually, you know, don't involve a PowerPoint presentation. They involve a story.
Yeah.
Because you can remember a story.
Yeah. I never use technology. I never use technology like that to do a speech.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
just deflecting from my point of view.
You mentioned it earlier. We kind of like sort of run back to mama in a way that we need those tools. But if we actually sat and thought, everybody has a story. Everybody has something to tell, an experience to share, or anything. Some of them are light. Some of them are very traumatic. Some of them are earth shattering. Some of them are great lessons.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And because as a society we are so hungry for information now that we want to listen, we want to tune in. How many of us look through our phones on Facebook, and as soon as you see a video, and if the first few clips of that video, frames of that video is interesting, we click on it. Or
absolutely.
If the title is good, oh, I saw this, or my daughter did this, and what happened
or
next,
this made me laugh out loud.
Exactly.
And
what happened next will actually astound you. Made you think, oh, hang on a minute, it's a little bit of a feed in, and that's very, and it's all down to storytelling.
Absolutely, it is. So, was that the motivation for starting your business, Hacks?
Being a documentary filmmaker, again, you get to find the story, and sometimes we were given things that you think, well, where is the story on that? So you end up having to really search under the skin of it. And it's the same philosophy for business. And when I came back home and decided to plant my roots back in the UK and put my travelling boots away, I thought, what can I do? What skill sets have I got that I can actually build something with? And that's how I started Hacks Media, because business has a story. Everybody, our differentiators, we may be accountants, we may be filmmakers, we may be solicitors or whatever. We work in the same area of business, and we have so many people who are in direct competition with us.
Yeah.
But what separates us is our story.
Yeah.
And that's what will engage people to trust you, or to at least build an empathy with you.
Mm.
And once they build an empathy with you, like networking, whatever, they get to know who you are and they like you and whatever, it's a whole thing. It builds up something. And the great way to start is a story. And social media makes that so easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
As a marketeer, and as you know, I do other things as well, but one of the first questions I ask companies, so what do you do then? And it's so dry. If they come back to me with a little story, it makes it so much easier to understand.
Yeah.
And then if they need to convert that, or when they convert that into, be it emails or newsletters or copy or marketing messages, so much easier to understand.
I don't know if I coined this term or not. I like to believe
you're
I did.
You're going to claim it, though, aren't
you? I'm going to claim it, yeah. I started calling that theatre marketing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Where you have this, somebody says, what do you do? You go, I'm an accountant or whatever. Whereas if you open the curtains and go, I woke up one day and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And it's about absolutely what you said, Shirley, and I just call that theatre marketing, yep. that you tell a story around your product. You don't just give a dry recount
exactly.
of what it is you do.
Yep.
You know, you make it interesting and you... Everybody will laugh at it. You exaggerate a little bit. I never exaggerate. I've told you a million times I never exaggerate.
Of course.
But
of course.
Do you know what I mean? You embellish it.
You should have done
it
with the sock story, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There was so much potential out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think, did I?
But you and I, Hex, we didn't believe him, did we?
No.
See, that's
no,
where the story went wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. I think there's a hidden story. Yeah.
I think there is too.
Yeah, I'm trying to deflect it by making it sound really boring and awful. Yeah.
I'm just absolutely. Worried that it might be too much information.
Yeah, probably true.
But
yeah.
talking of stories, I mean, I was at a networking meeting recently, and I met a young lady who's got a picture framing business.
Right, okay.
And, you know, the usual exchange, what do you do, whatever. And she said, oh, I understand the video, but I've got nothing to say. I wouldn't know where to start with video. Mm. And then as a conversation goes on and migrates and whatever, she ended up telling a story in herself, basically that she'd a client of hers had brought in this watercolour, and it was her father's that she'd found in a drawer in the house. And it was painted by his wife, who'd since passed. So the long story cut short was that she wanted it framed.
Right.
So she had it framed, came in, and then because she got to a point where she was going to deliver to the client, the long and short of it was that she was there in the room when the frame was unwrapped
right.
by the father and presented it to him, and he just burst into tears.
Absolutely.
Because all of a sudden he'd seen something that he'd saw his wife paint, forgot because it had been put in a drawer, and then was presented in a nice frame so it could be hung up on the wall.
Absolutely.
So I said, there's your story.
Yeah.
What a fantastic story. You know, I frame pictures, but I help retain people's memories.
Absolutely.
And
that is the power of those kind of pictures as well, isn't it? Funnily enough, I was telling a friend of mine last night, I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we had our summer fun day at the weekend at Aylesford, and I was just talking about it and stuff like that, and she was asking me about deaf children and the ins and outs of it. And I said, if you want to know anything, there's a little bit of video snippet, and it's less than 30 seconds long, and it's of a young lad called Latham, who's 7 weeks old, and they fit a hearing aid to him, and he hears his mother for the first time, and just the change in the child. It's a real tear. I defy anybody to not look at that and burst into tears. Anyone.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I mean anyone. Mm. It is just one of those really powerful images.
Mm. And of course, the big businesses use stories all the time, don't they? I'm just sitting here
all
thinking about the Yellow Pages advert, which was J.R.R. Hartley and his fly fishing book.
Absolutely,
I'm sure
yeah.
people of a certain age will remember that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, the Nescafe couple.
Yeah.
Love affair.
Yeah. Exactly.
And obviously Bisto.
Do you know that eventually they wrote a J.R.R. Hartley book on
yes,
fly fishing?
Did.
Because so
they
many
did.
Bookshops got asked yes. for it, and of course it didn't exist, that they eventually wrote one.
Incredible. So it's interesting to know
and that is exactly what I mean by theatre marketing. That's setting up a story, even you know, a fictitious story that you know, paints a picture of what you're trying to say. That I just think is so much more interesting than some of the nonsense that you get, you know, just buy one get one free or whatever. Mm. It's just boring, isn't it? That is really powerful stuff. I want to ask you a couple of kind of questions about the business in general now, Hax, in terms of being in the video business. Video is one of those things that 20, 30 years ago was outside the reach of most of us, unless you had a really incredibly expensive video camera. Nowadays, we all carry a camera with us in our pocket, and, you know, I don't think the quality's improved that much in terms of the filming quite often, but we all do. And now we have products like Meerkat and Periscope where you can live feed video and stuff like that. From your point of view as a business, what's been the impacts of those kind of technical changes? Has it made it harder, better, easier, worse? You know, can you incorporate it? How do you see it as a professional filmmaker?
For business, being able to produce your own material then and there is an excellent opportunity.
Mm.
The one thing that I would urge anybody would be to protect their brand. So make sure that whatever they produce is quality, as best as they can produce. I mean, a handheld selfie orientated video of you talking, is there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But again, it comes down to content. How are you going to engage with your clients? Because if you don't, if you're going to talk about stuff that's benign or not particularly focused, then it kind of like shares or intimates a way that you actually regard your business. And everybody, if they actually sit down and think about what they can say and what they can do and how they can illustrate what they do, then again, it's just down to the basis of storytelling.
Absolutely. So from your point of view, as a professional videographer, how can we use you? What are the kind of things that you offer us as businesses?
Well, we hope that we create the gap where we can actually find the story of a business and create it. The way we regard it, we regard video as our tool, and you know, stories, telling stories, is our business. That's how we look at it at Hacks Media.
Right.
And finding that story isn't always straightforward because you know what someone thinks about is their story. It isn't what eventually we'll actually tell the really engaging bit. So we have a discovery process which we go through, take it through stage by stage, where they can actually then figure out what goes on. We can actually see, we ask lots of questions, and then it comes back and we say, that's not your story, this is your story. Or yes, that's your story, but let's tell it this way.
Right.
And it's just a question of how to balance it, really.
Okay. Cool.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Sometimes, because you would think that a business would know what it's there to do and what it does and what its story is. But actually, business owners are so in the business, doing the day-to-day, that actually they don't have sort of have time to think about it.
They don't think about it quite often.
Sometimes it's, you know, I know when I'm working with clients, sometimes it's a real revelation when they suddenly realise, oh, actually, that's what we do.
And quite often it takes someone out of the business looking in to see where your strengths are or where the real story lies. And don't forget, Simon Sinek, he wrote a great book called Start With Why. And it's a great read, and there's a brilliant 18-minute clip on YouTube. And he basically says you need to find out why you do what you do. And quite often when you actually start it from that angle, you discover your differentiator.
Right.
Because we all do, as I say, we all do the same things. You know, there's lots of video producers out there, there's lots of accountants, there's lots of business mentors and whatever. But, you know, but at the same time, it's how do you engage or what is special about you?
Yep.
Because what one person will find interesting, another person won't.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's a question of, you know, you build up a relationship by telling your story and by telling things that people will find useful.
Absolutely. Hacks, we could talk about this for quite a long time. Sadly, we're coming towards the end of this bit. If people want to get in touch with you and find out more about you and engage with you, how can they do that?
Well, my website is hacksmedia.com. On there is a series of videos that will help take people through why video is so powerful. We've also got entry-level and medium-level pricing, which is all on the website, so you can actually control how much you want to spend. But the thing is again, stories start with a conversation, so come and have a conversation with me, and we'll start your story.
Fantastic. That's Hacks spelled
H-A-X.
And they can also follow you on the Twitter as well, of course.
Yes, that's Hacks Filmmaker, at Hacks Filmmaker.
Fantastic. Those links are all on the Kent Business Radio website and will remain on there, so you can follow up with that. Hacks, in a moment, do stay with us for the rest of the show, but thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Fascinating. Loved hearing your line. Loved hearing your stories. And fantastic. Stay with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Wasn't that fun? Stories.
It was fun. It was fun.
Stories.
And I absolutely agree with him 100%. It is about the stories. That's what makes life interesting.
It makes it easy to tell.
And fun. And you know, it is really interesting. You know, and without being weird about this, as I get older, I do end up getting in far too many rants about things like this. But people start to annoy me, and. Politically, just recently, I think we've gone into a bit of a bad space. Not any one particular party, there seems to be a general thing about business in this country that's going the wrong way a little bit, because people have got a fairly skewed view of what business is. And people start talking about business people, successful business people anyway, that are, you know, evil and money grabbing and da-da-da-da. And I don't know anybody that went into business purely for the money. I've never met anyone. So as a piece of interest, you know, we do a regular feature with the University of Kent Business School,
yes,
where they actually spend many years researching businesses. I asked them, how many people in their entire research program have cited money as the main primary driver for starting a business? Do you know what their answer was?
I have to think it's pretty close to a big fat zero.
It was zero. They didn't have anyone.
No, most people do it because they want to take a bit more control over their life.
Absolutely. It's lifestyle choices, it's expertise, it's a passion for things, it's a willingness sometimes to just make a difference.
Absolutely.
It's about stories, isn't it?
It is.
Exactly as Hax was saying, it's about stories. And
it's stories, and the other bit is, it's about problem solving.
Yeah.
Generally, clients will buy from you because they have a problem.
Yeah.
But if they don't know what your story is, they don't know if you can help solve their problem.
Absolutely. Fascinating discussion, and absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Hax, for raising that. And I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter will have been tweeting away about that as well. We have had some tweets. Fruit Bowl Media, hello, Vanilla Web and Shirley. A shout out, please. We make brilliant, cost effective websites, fruitbowlmedia.com. I've read those already.
Can I jump in with one?
Of course you can.
It's a tweet from at Sharon Goodyear, Healthy Treats. I don't know if you know, but Sharon baked the cake that made the car, the Skoda car, years ago.
Right, I remember,
As an inspiration, and she's just brilliant. Anyway, she's just tweeted out, say, Bar 15, which is her new launched product, which is the no added sugar syrup sweetener cereal bar, which is really, really good. They are celebrating their 100th customer.
Fantastic.
Which is great. As a small startup, that is fantastic news.
Brilliant.
And actually, Sharon, as a result of that, you can buy me a glass of wine later when I see you.
Going on the back of that, about that no sugar, that's a huge thing. There's a lot of people talking about this now. You know, the damage that sugar's doing in our diets and things like that. I just happen to know that Alistair Jessel of Taywell Ice Cream have just officially launched Sweet Rebellion, their new sugar-free, calorie-free, gluten-free ice cream. And I tell you what, it is knockout. It is absolutely knockout, and it's almost healthy for you.
Well, I have to say, I have Bar 15s. For me, they're a really good breakfast substitute. So they're sort of muesli-based and stuff like that. My favourite one is the cranberry and pumpkin, which is just lovely. But there's also an apricot and coconut one.
Yeah.
They're really great. But you can find them, a bit of a plug for Sharon's website, it's Bar 15, that's bar15.info.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, do have a look at that. And it's a great move. We do need to think about that. Hey, and what about this? The government are talking about taxing sugar soon, aren't they? So there you go. Another incentive.
Actually, yes, last night, 20% tax
on
sugar
sugary
drinks.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's another one just come in from David Knowlton. Thanks for the great insight into storytelling from Hax Film Media.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Richard Hubbard has tweeted in to say he's listening and enjoying the show. RAP, Office Interiors. Enjoying being part of the show going on. Who else we got? Carl's from Kent. Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Shirley. Please, can we have a shout out? Carl'sfromkent.com, the place to buy and sell cars locally.
Yeah, I've got one here from Get Social Kent from Telcar Limited. Hi, Paul.
Yep.
Hi, Paul. I shouldn't be reading that, should I?
Yeah, well, you can read it.
Can you mention that Get Social Kent has another conference coming up in October?
Cool.
So I should think if you follow at Get Social Kent, you'll find some details about that one.
Yeah. That lion's back by the sound of it.
Yeah.
We've had a new listener as well, Abamaxa, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, saying hello this morning, local Kent business luxury. As far as I can tell from their Twitter handle, they're a luxury goods supplier based in Bidenden, just around the corner from
me.
So do check them out on the Twitter, Abaxma, A-B-A-M-A-X-A, Abaxma. Have a check out. Have you got an email that you could read?
I have. Shall we do the Operation Stack one?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, fine. All right. So for everybody, this is a statement from Damien Green about Operation Stack. So I'll just pretty much read most of it as we go through. So a number of people have contacted Damien Green, the MP, in frustration about Operation Stack. So this is just to update people on what he's been doing. So what he's saying is it's been difficult to find a single big solution in the firm of in the form of an emergency lorry park next to the motorway.
But we don't really need that, do we? All your eggs in one basket again.
Exactly. So what he's been arguing for some time is a series of smaller lorry parks around the county. And in actual fact, during this last stack, there was quite a bit of mention about Manston, both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Anyway, his note here indicates that he's putting some pressure on Parliament, Department of Transport and the ministers to finish their consultation work on this so that we can just get this forward. He's also spoken to the Roads Minister, and he intends to lead a delegation of Kent MPs to see them to see what we can get going, so in terms of the Transport Secretary.
Okay.
Now, no single solution, but some ideas such as diverting lorries to non-Kent ports on the East Coast could be done quickly. Work has already begun on at least one of the smaller parks near the M20 at the Eurotunnel terminal. But anyway, it's important that we keep the pressure up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite noticeable. We haven't had stack on for 4 or 5 days, and my guess is if I hit the news airwaves, it will have dropped down the list.
Yeah.
I think as Kent businesses and Kent residents, we need to keep the pressure up so that we get a better solution.
Well, it's interesting, from the economy point of view, the government have been looking at this bizarre statistic we have at the moment where we have massive employment opportunities, unfilled jobs, skill shortages, but low productivity.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any sense to the economists at all. But one of the reasons, and there are many reasons behind it actually, but one of them is things like this, which brings the whole of productivity to East and South Kent to a grinding, screaming halt for 2 weeks.
I'm working with a business in Harwicham at the moment, so between Maidstone and Ashford, hit by stack, most of the staff come in from either Ashford or Folkestone, and they've been having two and a half, three-hour journeys for a journey that should take them 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
And at the other end of the day, from about sort of 4 o'clock, they're on the internet all the time checking up about what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
From a business owner's point of view, you lose a bit of production at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Helpful. Absolutely. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. We've spent over £100 million on motorway nannying systems. Yeah, that tell you to not read signs while you... Oh, no, they don't tell you that. They tell you to pay attention, not fall asleep, not drink and drive, can't kick, and everything else. How about telling lorry drivers, sorry, Kent's closed, don't come? Yeah, because we don't do that back up the motorway network that says, if you're at the top of the M1 and you're heading towards the Channel ports, don't, they're closed. Pull off somewhere in the Midlands and park up for a couple of hours until we tell you what's going on. There's none of that.
But that should happen because I know sometimes I quite often drive the M20 around Maidstone, and there's quite often signs in the morning saying accident M11, junction 12,
9.
Accident on the M40. So there must be those messages going out. Obviously, people aren't. Perhaps they know that if they come down here and park, we'll give them lots of water.
I don't know. Well, they didn't even get that this time. It took 2 days to do that as well, didn't it?
But interestingly, on the drive down this time, all the Portaloos are still there.
Well, I have a theory. I think that it's not promoted by local radio up north because the counties don't want them hanging around there. They want to get them out of their county because it's a big policing affair.
It's massive. And do we think that's a bit like the French as well?
Absolutely. Not our problem. It's your problem.
No, exactly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And the thing is, because it happens in Kent and it affects us, the problem for Kent taxpayers is it's not our problem. It's a national problem, but that's left to us to deal with.
Exactly. Yeah. But the bill lands pretty fairly and squarely, I think, on KCC.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, they pay for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and, you know, the government go, well, you know, the ports are there.
Yeah.
But that's true. But, you know, it's part of a national infrastructure. You know, the port's got to be somewhere. It just happens to be here. But I agree with Damien, which is something I don't do very often, but I agree with Damien. It's we've got to divide and rule. Many years ago, I worked in technology, and one of my background skills was network queuing theory. And basically, when you build a communications network, you never put it all in one direction because, you know, you get tailbacks and bottlenecks. You always divide and rule and move it around, which is why Ethernet won out over Token Ring easily. Yeah, because Token Ring all in one direction and Ethernet goes all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you've got to start doing with these. You know, it's no good having one giant lorry park. You've got to have dozens and dozens and dozens of little ones all over the place.
We've had a huge amount of investment.
Yeah.
A lot of people might argue not enough, but in improving a lot of the roads, particularly down towards East Kent and stuff like that. So, you know, we really do need to spread it around, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we do. So, Operation Stack, there is a petition going around at the moment that you can sign. It's been sent around on Twitter and Facebook. You can sign it if you think it's worthwhile. I've signed it. They've got a few thousand signatures already. They're going to send it to the Prime Minister. But I think the government are fully aware of the problem. Telling them that we've got a problem isn't going to surprise them in any way, shape or form.
Exactly.
What we're lacking and have been lacking for 20-odd years is a solution. And one of the problems, to be fair, is a lot of people don't want lorry parks where they live.
No.
But that's very short-sighted, because although it is a pain, it doesn't happen that often. Yeah, it's not like it's going to happen every week or anything like that.
No, it has been exceptional over the last... I think there was 12 out of the last 17 days where Stack was on. That is exceptional.
Well,
having said that, the disruption starts from the minute that they close the motorway to put Stack in.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was also a couple of extraneous problems, wasn't there? Because when the French capitulated and ended their action, the next day there was all the problem in the tunnel with some illegal immigrants that had boarded a train, and then one of them went and stupidly fell off and killed himself.
Yes.
And then they had to shut the tunnel again, and then it was all over again, you know, before we'd cleared up the last lot. So there's loads of problems that need to be addressed there. But anyway, hopefully the powers that be are going to put some effort into trying to find some reasonable solutions to some of this. We continue to get loads of tweets, and I'm just going to flash through some of them. The Barrister Broker has tweeted, Liz J has tweeted, Miriam McGirt has tweeted, Jules Serkin has tweeted, but we can ignore her completely. Guess what she's tweeted me?
Breakfast.
Shirley, guess what she's tweeted me?
She's tweeted you breakfast.
She has tweeted me a concoction on a plate that has beans and things involved with it.
Well, of course, it's, what is it, 9 a.m. in New York?
Absolutely, it is, yeah. Oh, blimey, I don't want to see any of that. There's a picture of a living statue in, I would imagine that's somewhere in Lower Manhattan by the looks of it. And also a picture of a lady in red, but I can't tell the difference between the two things, to be honest. One of them is Jules, allegedly.
Okay, can I give a shout out for Kent and Victor's got some breakfast networking going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
As it does. This is, where's the date? Oh, Friday the 17th of July, so this Friday, at the Best Western Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne, there is the Kent Healthy Business Awards, which is a free business breakfast, improving economic performance through people and environment, and that's been held in partnership with KCC.
Cool. Thank you. I think what we'll do now is we'll have a little bit of a comfort break, and we'll play some tunes, and we'll have a quick woof of the air conditioning to cool ourselves down a bit, and then we come back. We'll speak to our next guest, who, interestingly, is going to be talking some more about the power of words, because we're going to be talking to Arthur Palmer from the Wise Words Festival.
Anybody
some
would
more
think
storytelling.
Planned it.
Isn't it brilliant when a plan comes together?
Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. This is such a well-produced show. It's unbelievable. Here we go.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
The air attack warning sounds like. This is the sound.